Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov.
Is it just you, Hannah? Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov to you. I'm going to mute my phone.
Hey, but feel free to Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov.
Ruby, feel free to join the class with questions when you feel like it. Please, we're in section 9 of Parshat Noach of the Sulam commentary, and we'll start with Pasuk 55. After we say L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Zid Shabrithu Ishkin Tebid Hilu Urchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu Le'achda L'shem Yud Hei B'Vav Hei B'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Elohino Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Konone Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Kononehu Ki l'yamim mot shiva anochi mamtim al haaretz arbaim yom v'arbaim laila v'gomer Rabbi Yehuda amar hanei arbaim yom v'arbaim laila ma avitaihu Ela arbaim yom la'altam la'alta'a fayave alma avitaihu ela arbaim yom la'alta'a fayave alma uktiv arbaim yakenu lo yosif Lefabel Arba Sitre Alma Lekol Chadasara Begin de Barnash Me Arba Sitre Alma Itvere Vialda Umachiti Et Kol Chayakum Beitsteris Arbaim le'alka'a u'at mehei alma. For in another 7 days I will call it to rain upon the earth, cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. Rabbi Yehuda said, what is the meaning of these 40 days and 40 nights? These 40 days are to strike the wicked of the world, as it is written, 40 strikes he may give him, and not exceed, corresponding to the four winds of the world, which are the secret of Chachma, Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut. As each one has 10, there are altogether 40. For man was created from the four winds of the world. So the verse continues, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from the face of the earth. 40 strikes are needed to destroy the world. Questions, comments, thoughts?
What's the definition of strikes?
That's a good question. I'm looking at the Aramaic to get a sense of what word is being used in that way.
I think strike is makeh, something like similar to that anyway in Hebrew.
Marquet.
It was one of our vocabulary words, but it was one that I have a hard time remembering. I know a punishment in the Torah was 40 lashes. So I think, don't you think it's just showing us the relationship between the number 4 and 40 as a hint to judgment in this relative to this pasuk?
Well, it's describing a spiritual law relating to the number 40 and to the two lashes or strikes. The Aramaic word, I think, is la'alka'ah, the third word from the end of the pasuk.
So strikes could just mean that it rained every day for 40 days. Would that be the strikes?
Well, it says the 40 days are to strike the wicked. So they're using that word, strike.
Right, and it's got the same word in that that section as well.
I suppose Arba'im is 40.
Well, first off, Hannah said something and Malka's asked a question, so I want to address both of those. The Talmud says that, or this verse in the Zohar is telling us that 40 strikes, I'm looking for another word to use, but it's 40 hits, or let's agree on 40 hits destroys something. That's a spiritual law. So we are not able to, no court, no Bet Din is able to give someone 40 lashes, they must give them 39 lashes. And 39 is the gematria of the Hebrew word tal, which is due, which relates to the coming of Mashiach. And 39 types of work, of creativity. In the times when the temple existed, there were 39 types of work performed, and that's why we're prescribed from doing 39 types of creativity on Shabbat, because of the destruction of the temple. It's not because we shouldn't do that on Shabbat. If the temple was in existence, our Shabbat would look very different. Now, with that said, the question that Malka's asking is, what is a strike? And it's literally a hitting, it creates destruction. And why does 40 create destruction is because the letter Mem has the number gematria of 40. And the 40 is representing of these four sephirot in complete structures of 10. Those four sephirot are, in this pasuk, it tells us it's Chachma, Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut. But in another place, it says it's Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, and Malchut, representing the four. But, so essentially what the verse is saying, the question that the rabbi asked, Rabbi Yehuda asked, no, it was why does it say 40 days and 40 nights? But he didn't answer the question about nights. He just said days. He said the 40 days was to destroy the wicked. But we would know that when he says 40 days, he meant a complete day, and a day starts at night. So there's no need to say 40 nights. And while that question isn't being displayed, that is a question as a student of Kabbalah we need to ask. Why is 40 nights separated, said separately?
Well, my thought is when it's, you know, when you have when something said double, it's important. You have to, you know, it's pay attention. You know, that's kind of what I thought through, you know, studying. When something's repeated twice, it's very important.
That is correct, and in the Hebrew language, when something is repeated, it's an emphasis. It's like bolding in the English type setting.
Now the rain just didn't come from the heavenlies; it came from the earth as well. Because when we talk about Bina, the waters from her is from the earth, you know, gushing up.
You're right. You're right, the waters came from below, rose up, as well as were rained down.
Right.
At least that's what the Midrash was telling us.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we've completely answered all of the questions you've asked yet, have we?
But I do think. Well, go ahead.
No, ma'am. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was thinking a day is 24 hours, and 24 hours is 6 times 4. So you got your 4 in there. So maybe it's somehow linked to.
But are you sure a day is 24 hours?
Well, I thought we were. I thought that's what I taught all for 25 years in the classroom. 3 feet equal 1 yard, and 12 inches equal 1 foot, 24 hours in a day.
But according to science, there's more than 5,778 years in the universe. So we're told that the length of a day is variable. And the science also, according to Einstein, says the length of a day is variable, depending on how close you get to the speed of light. And the reason I'm asking the question, of course it's 24 hours, but we know we have a halakhic hour, which is the length of the daylight hours divided by 12. So a day is only 12 hours in that sense, and the length is not 60 minutes in an hour, because the minutes are diminished depending on the overall length of the day. So when it comes to time, you always have to speak in relativity terms. And that's true in many other frames of reference. But when it comes to time, it's especially important as a student of Kabbalah to recognize the relativity of that issue. But you just express, why is a day 24 hours long, 12 of night and 12 of day? It's because you have Chachma, which is a right column, day. You have Bina, which is left column, night. You have Tiferet, which is considered day. And you have Malchut, which would be considered night. So that's where your the idea of day and night comes from. And that's the meaning of day and night in this pasuk. Should I go on, or do we need to continue discussing this? Because there's a lot there. There is definitely a lot in this pasuk. And we haven't unpacked all of it. Yes.
Hannah, I have a question.
Go ahead.
It's not about time. What is the significance of the rain from above and the water below?
What is the significance?
Mm-hmm.
Water represents chesed, and there's two levels of chesed. There's the upper sephirot, the upper triangle of the Star of David, and the lower triangle of the Star of David. So water below represents the Netzach. Because as Hannah said, it's 4 times 6 to make 24. The 6 represents the 6 sephirot is there on Pin. And you always, and that 6 is broken, in, not broken, but it's perceived as a upper triangle or, and a lower triangle. And that's relating to the Tree of Life, which is also the Star of David.
Does it represent judgment, mercy, judgment?
Yes, right column is mercy is sharing, so we
mm-hmm.
would consider that mercy, and left column is receiving, which we consider judgment.
So they work together: false judgment versus harsh judgment.
That is correct, but that's the difference between Giburah and Hod.
Mm-hmm.
Hod is sweet judgment, and Giburah is harsh judgment. Or it's Bina, which is sweetened, and Giburah, which is harsh.
So with this generation that was, I guess, called the wicked generation in the flood, I guess Hashem knew that, you know, we talked about being the angels rejoicing that the wicked were taken out of the world, which, you know, you said that's man's perception of being jarred about it, not so much on the spiritual level with Hashem, because he's never joyous when a life is lost. But with that said, this generation, he knew, I guess, the spiritual concept of, knew that they wouldn't repent. Their repentance was that, or teshuva, was not going to happen. So this generation that was lost in the flood, and I understand why, from, you know, going back to the sin of the golden calf, or to the sin of Adam.
Right.
That's why the generation had to be removed. But with that said, that generation, he knew that they wouldn't repent to Shiva, so they would have to come back in a body to finish their tikkun, in a different body to finish their tikkun.
That's correct.
Okay. So to remove, so it was like, okay, you don't want to do repentance, so we're going to give you a chance, a mercy. There's a mercy that you'll come into
exactly.
another body. You won't return in the body that you were in originally. You'll have to return into another body to complete that process.
That's correct. And the body you return into will be a weaker body than the one that died.
Right.
So that perhaps the soul can overcome and control that body. Because the soul wasn't able to control the body, which represents the desire to receive for oneself alone.
Right.
The soul wasn't able to overcome and control that body. They ran out of quote unquote time to do their teshuva. And so they were taken out of the world.
Now, when you say let's and I don't mean to keep talking, when you say that I don't have enough time, is there a time for us to complete or not complete our...
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if we ever talked about that.
Well, I have in the basic classes, there's 6,000 years to complete our tikkun. If we don't complete the tikkun in the 6,000 years, then the last final day of that 6,000 years will be what's called the Armageddon War. But if we're able to bring it any earlier, even one day earlier, it will come with less judgment, less chaos.
And we're talking from the time of Adam, the 6,000 years. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
So that's why the war either has to happen or not happen. And in the way the world's going, it's a possibility that the war will happen.
Well, I prefer to think that it's a possibility that the war will not happen because we're revealing the Zohar. We're bringing... That is what the work we are doing is to avoid the Armageddon War. It does not have to happen.
Right. And it can be one person or it can be many persons that are studying to not make this event happen. Correct?
The more that study it, the more we can be sure that it will not happen. If it's only one human being who's doing the studying and that human being is not at the level of consciousness of Moshe, we can be sure it will happen, God forbid. But we don't have just one person studying Kabbalah. We have, a number of people right here on this call. And we have other groups that have many more students. So people are studying Kabbalah that they didn't study in earlier generations. So we're the hope, the prayer, the manifestation is that we will not bring the Armageddon War, we will bring Mashiach early.
Is there, I don't know, if, the Kabbalah centers, or is there anyone that's keeping, and I don't mean to say count, but knows how many people are studying Zohar in this generation, this point?
I'm not aware of anybody who's keeping count, because each organization keeps that information more or less secret. But basically each teacher has learned what he has learned, and he teaches what he is teaching. And his students are attracted to that student, to that teacher, because of the affinity of the souls of the students to that teacher. So,
and I don't
the other question is, we don't know who makes up. How many human beings today make up a soul? Because our souls have split many, many times. They've sparked is the term. They've sparked many, many times. In the time of the desert, there were 600,000 children of Israel, but 600,000 souls of the children of Israel. And when that meant that there were 600,000 women, but there were also children at that time. So that represents the size of a nation. But we don't know how many souls, how many people today make up one of those souls representing the child of Israel. So even if we had someone who was saying, oh, we have 22 million people studying Zohar every day, we don't know how many that 22 million would represent the 600,000 of the children of Israel of the generation of the desert.
I think I've read this maybe on the Kabbalah or Daily Zohar, I'm not quite sure. I always thought there was always has to be 600,000 souls in a generation.
There has to be 600,000 souls in a generation. That is correct. But I didn't say anything to refute that.
No, you didn't. I was making from my stored data in my mind.
Right.
I just read that and I just came to my mind.
Yeah, and then people will say, how long is the length of a generation?
I don't know.
Nobody else does either, because we don't know when the 600,000 souls come back for that generation. We have modern technology, modern people that are saying, well, there's a millennial generation, and there's the, I forget what generation I'm in that they call us, the
baby boomers.
Or the baby boomers, and then there's some, you know, my children are in a different generation, you know. But nobody knows what is a real generation, and they say, oh, a generation is 20 years, or a generation is 70 years. But nobody really knows, because it's a function of when that 600,000 child of Israel comes into the world. That defines the length of that generation. And yes, every generation is given a specific tikkun. That is just one of the many different tikkunim that each person has in their life.
It makes me want to go out and just scream to the high heavens, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. We need to correct this generation or this nation, whichever
maybe,
you want to call it.
Maybe we have 10 generations that are living today. Maybe we only have one. We don't know. So we got halfway through this Pasuk 55 today, and we'll take up 56 next week, tomorrow. Classes tonight, Kodesh, our Rosh Kodesh connection will be at 7 o'clock West Coast time, and our Tikkuni Zohar class, the second one, will be tonight at 8:30. So I hope you'll join us for both of those. Have a beautiful Rosh Chodesh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.